Blog Talk Radio. Peace to the gods.
Peace to the gods, man. What's going on, Kalam? How are you, brother?
So beautiful, Jay Rock. Just right here, you know what I'm saying, enjoying the views outside, just gazing. How's it going?
That's
for
what's
you?
Up. Oh, man, it's going great. It's going great, man. Alive and well, able to see another beautiful, beautiful day. You know, I'm just out in my territory, just actually admiring the view as well. It's kind of cool today. It's been real warm over the weekend, but today it kind of cooled up a little bit, you know?
Okay. Yeah, that's what's up. At least y'all got a little warmer weather down there. Well, up there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we are just a little bit, man. Just a little paint chiller. But I'd be glad once it start back rolling, you know. That's my money season then, you know.
Hey, for sure. That's when everybody come out.
Yeah, you know it, man.
Yes, sir.
Trying to do some real commerce this spring, summer, and fall, man. I'm trying to go ahead and rack it up, you know.
Oh, yeah. So,
man,
real quick, what you been working upon? You know what I'm saying? Just like a little summary, of things you've been working on, as far as like commerce.
Man.
What you got?
Commerce, hey man. You know, I'm into a little bit of everything, but my biggest pet peeve is swinging the cars, right? Swinging vehicles. Yeah, that's my biggest little money maker right now. So, you know, I'm trying to really, really buckle down with the knowing and how to buy, sell, and trade vehicles. You know?
Got you.
And, man, not just in the United States. See, I'm learning more about how to do the international trading. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what I'm working on now, man, and I'm just trying to get like well connected with a bunch of different vendors and or you know business people that can, you know what I'm saying, that's already in that era and can actually show me more, you know, on how to be successful in that era.
Hey, that's good. That's how you learn. You learn from the masters who've been there, you know, 10 plus experience years. And,
right.
And shoot, you go from there.
Facts, man. So what about yourself, brother? What kind of commerce are you working on out there?
So like you as well, you know, I'm when it comes to commerce, I'm general with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm all around with it, but like currently what I'm on right now is currently on the real estate, getting into the real estate a little more. I told you about those classes that I was taking. This should be my last month paying for the class, so I should have like the whole course and how I can operate in using the real estate. Also, I am currently looking in, you know what I'm saying, how to discharge cars and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, get these cars discharged, man. Like, you getting into the cars, too. I'm trying to get into the cars, too, because I'm all about the short-term rental, you know what I'm saying? When I get these things, even when I get the properties, yes, I might have a few long-term rentals, but starting off, I will do the short-term rental. That's just my preference.
Fact.
That's what I'm doing right now, the house and cars, playing with the house and cars. That's what I'm trying to get into. You need cars, you need the house, you need shelter, and you need transportation.
Big facts,
yeah,
man. You know, and man, you make a strong point there, man. I was taught by one of the teachers before me, man, if you got to have somewhere to live, man, you should study real estate. You got to have a vehicle to get around in, you should study cars. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always important to do your due diligence. when it comes to what you're trying to invest your time into.
Right.
But hey man, one thing for sure, two things for certain, you ain't making a bad choice, man, because guess what? Cars are being bought and sold every day, so are houses.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Yep.
So I advise everyone to get more in tune with, you know, definitely the real estate game for sure. You know, prices are definitely going up, man, in all eras. Like gas prices right now. You know what I'm saying? So with this real estate, had a lot of people jumped in. You remember when I was telling you back a few years ago how cheap property was in my town, right?
Yeah.
And so, man, it's not that cheap anymore. But due to this crisis that we're having, unfortunately, all of the prices have actually started going up, right? And you know, I talked to a bunch of different realtors and people who purchased properties back when I was buying a few of my properties, and man, they're doing real good. They're doing real good right now.
That's what's up, because they're doing good because some people, when it comes to real estate, they're not real estate investors. Not everybody who are in real estate are considered like real estate investors, you know what I'm saying? And real estate investing just pretty much meaning that, you know what I'm saying, you're not using that real estate for, you know what I'm saying, personal use. You're not just getting houses and trying to buy it off like right away. You know what I'm saying? You're financing, or if you could afford it, but it's good to use other people's money, OPM. So it's when you start to work like that, it's like money's not necessarily coming out of your pocket, and now you know the game of investing instead of, you know what I'm saying, putting yourself in debt and, you know, causing yourself damage, you know what I'm saying, because now you're putting your personal monies or your personal account, you know what I'm saying, with an investment property, and it's not seen as an investment anymore. Unless you got that type of funds. And a lot of people don't have that type of fund. Houses is costing like $30,000 to $200,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about outright. Like a mortgage strictly entirely paid off. Now, if you have $30,000 and you spend your money $30,000 on a house just to buy the fixture outright, that's not a smart move. You only had $300,000, and you spent $300,000 on a house. That's not necessarily an investment in my eyes.
No, it's not, man. You could have bought a few houses with that.
Exactly. You could have bought a good amount.
Shit. You know, but I mean, you're right though. You know what I'm saying? That's not a very smart investment move, you know, and just learning from some of the great teachers, you know, and their success stories. Man, I'm trying to get it to where, like you say, bro, let me get this house straight out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to have to pay anything for it. You know, $300,000 houses, whatever, you know. I'm trying to be so knowledgeable of the laws that surround the real estate game, period, so that, you know, I'm able to go into these houses and purchase it without having to come out of pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. That's
you know, when I first got into the real estate game, I didn't just jump right in saying, you know what, I'm going to just go buy this house. I'm going to go buy this house. If you remember, I started off with tax liens. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I started purchasing tax liens. Tax liens was, to me, it was a easier route to go, but it also was a little difficult when I first got into it because I thought I understood, but I didn't. But over the years, I've kind of did my due diligence, even when it comes to foreclosing on a property. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it gets better with time. Once you start studying, like, the different laws and the codes, you kind of start understanding how they want you to do certain things. And, again, you know, it's all about doing your due diligence.
Yes, sir. Practice. You know what I'm saying? Every time you practice, you get stronger. It's the same thing like lifting weights. If you weak somewhere, you got to strengthen it. And shoot, the only thing is repetition, which is practice. You know what I'm saying? Learning more and more every time and build that endurance. But that's good, God. Hey, I'm right behind you, though. I'm right behind you. Trust me. On today's show, this is Financial Fridays, you know what I'm saying? This is actually a makeup day. So we're doing it for the Financial Fridays, and we're talking about asset protection. And all of those things we just named just now can be an asset or a liability. But I don't know, honestly. You know what I'm saying? This is just me in my opinion. I don't know if there's a thing called liability protection. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you can actually protect yourself. You cannot protect your liabilities. That's why, because you're responsible for it. You know what I'm saying? That's a liability. But assets, you can definitely protect your assets. And that is our focus today, is asset protection.
Right.
And I don't know if you want to hop into the definitions that we got inside the private chat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. And again, you know, if you guys want to get inside the private chat, email us at fortheloveofcommerce@gmail.com, and we will most definitely add you to the private chat.
Yes, sir.
But, man, let's get big into it, man. Let's start with, I see that you had in the chat, man, assets. The etymology definition of asset. So, like Kalam stated, man, we wanna always break down each and every word, man. And I learned from this brother on how to actually take my time and do my due diligence with the words that I'm actually running across and trying to learn. You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to Kalam on that, man. He actually taught me some valuable information when it comes to actually reading. So, you know what I'm saying, man? I want to appreciate you that for that, brother, you know? And
that's no problem.
So, let's dig into it, man. Let's go into assets on the etymology side of it. And it says asset, noun, 1530s, sufficient estate, from Angelo French, asset singular, from Old French, asset, sufficiency, satisfaction, compensation, 11c, noun, use of ever, meaning enough, sufficiently, very much, a great deal, from vulgar Latin to sufficiency, to satisfy, from pyru, to satisfy. Okay.
Right. And also below as well, you see where it'd be having like, if you scroll down a little bit, they also have like this definition of assets again. It's from the word net.
Okay, I see where you said it. Okay, at first, a legal word meaning sufficient estate to satisfy debt and legacy. It passes into a general sense of property, especially any property that theoretically can be converted to ready money. Wow, by 1580s, fugitive used from 1670s asset is a 19th century artificial singular corporate asset stripping. Stripping is a test from 1972. Again, it says at first a legal word meaning sufficient estate to satisfy debt and legacy, in parentheses. It passes into a general sense of property, especially any property that theoretically can be converted to ready money. All right?
Hey.
And that's, that right there is a great understanding of what that word asset means.
Right.
If it can be converted into ready money, then it's considered to be an asset.
Oh, yeah. All
right. I want a lot of people to understand the difference. And, you know, with this asset, you know, and understanding what an asset actually is. All right. Was it something else you wanted to go over with that?
I mean, yes. Let's go ahead, because normally at the bottom, right? Like if you go scroll all the way at the bottom, now they have this part that is from the WordNet, right? So it's just like an overview of what they have already said. So it's assets, anything of material value or usefulness that is owned by a person or company.
Mm.
So yeah, if you know what I'm saying, if you got a material that is that is worth the value and can be transferred into money, right? That's like the cribs. If you got the cribs in real estate or whatever, and which is property. Let me use the proper term. If you got properties, you know what I'm saying, and you're renting those out monthly, that's producing you readily money. It's not it's not like you have the crib and you bought the property, and you're just paying rent. That's different.
Right.
That's a liability. So it's not seen as asset because it's not producing you money. You know what I'm saying? It's an expense. You're putting expenses into this place. Yeah, but that's all I have to add on to that definition.
Okay. Now we're gonna go into protection. All right. Let's go into the etymology definition of protection. All right, protection, noun, mid-14th century, protection, shelter, defense, that which shields from harm or injury, keeping guardianship, act or state of protecting, late 14th century, as that which protects, from old French, protection, shield. And directly from late Latin protection, a cover over, noun of action from past participle, stain of protect, cover in front, to cover. A common old English word for protect was the origin. All right. The political economy defense of system of fostering a country's industry by means of imposts on products of foreign competitors is from 1789 as a writing that guarantees the bearer safety of safe conduct from mid-15C. The modern underworld sense of freedom from molestation in exchange for money is a test from 1860. The ecological sense of attempt preservation by laws is from 1880, originally of wild birds in Britain. Also in medieval England, the protection of maintenance of a lord or patron sponsorship to put someone out of protection meant to derive him or her of the security of the protection of the kingdom's laws. All right, and then we got the word pro, the word pro, word forming element meaning forward, as a proclaim, proceed. Beforehand, in advance, taken care of, in place of, and this is just giving you different definite, different words of the pro, on behalf of, in place of, before, for, in exchange for, just as, which also was used as a first element in compounds and had a collateral form from pull. All right. Also, in some cases from cognate Greek pro, before, in front of, sooner, which also was used in Greek as a pro prefix, as in problem. Both the Latin and Greek words are from pi, before, forward, for. Old English for, before, for, on account of. All right. The common modern sense in favor of favoring was not in classical Latin and is a test in English from early 19th century. All right. Did you want me to go ahead and read that last one? Hypothetical source of evidence.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah, that's just breaking down. Look, oh,
yeah,
one
of those. Yeah, and which people know where we get the definition, and they can go ahead and get deeper if they want to.
Right.
But
right.
Time to take.
Yeah, but the word protection, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It really shows that when you break this down. It shows you like where you wanna be. Like everybody wants protection. I don't care who it is. Everybody wants protection. So with this word protection, it helps you to understand the word itself, like what it derived from. Like, hey, look, you know, it's covering everything. This protection. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, even it says shelter and defense. You know what I'm saying? You want to be able to protect and defend no matter what you are, what you have. You know what I'm saying? And so that word asset protection together, man, is a powerful word. No lie.
Yeah.
That is a powerful word, man.
Hey, definitely. Even if you go ahead and go scroll down a little bit more,
uh-huh.
where the definitions will be all the way at the bottom. Like if you scroll all the way to the bottom, and if you look, you would see that it also says protection, the activity of protecting someone or something. So it could protect someone or something. And also, if you go down, it says a covering that is intended to protect from damage or injury. And what is a crime? You know what I'm saying? Or what is seen as a crime is an injured party. So a lot of these things, these can protect you from getting infringed on. You know what I'm saying? And injured. So this could go hand in hand. This word right here is protection, right? And what does the Constitution actually does? Is protection. It stops you from getting injured. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
From government and other people. And other people, you know what I'm saying? That's just what it does. And
facts.
And also it also goes down to tell you defense against financial failure, financial independence. So defense against financial failure. So it defends you from, you know what I'm saying, financial failure. You don't want to fail in certain financial areas. And when we looked at the assets, right? Assets, it was telling you that pretty much. Let me go back to it so I could word it verbatim, because we're talking about financial failure, right?
Right.
And it says, at first, a legal word meaning sufficient estate to satisfy debt. It satisfies debt. That's what an asset is, and protection. If the asset satisfied debt and protection, the word protection, you know, protects you from financial failure, come on. That tells you more than one what the asset protection does. It protects you from, you know what I'm saying, everything financial and failing. You don't want to fail financially. So asset protection is real good. Like, it's real beneficial.
Facts.
Yes, sir.
Facts, man. All right.
But I think we're on the... All right, go ahead, guys.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that we were at the 30-minute mark, half an hour.
30? Okay. Well, you know, let's take a quick break and come back. Hey, man, we got to get some advertisements going on, too. You know what I'm saying?
We'll
chop it up about that. We're
going to get it back going.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, we're going to take a quick break, man. Tune back in with us, man. We're going to take about a quick 3 to 5 minute break, and then we'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Peace to the gods. Peace to the gods, man. We are back. We are back.
Peace to the gods.
Yeah, man. We was just going in, man, on this asset protection, right? And just thinking about the what we see a lot of times people go into to doing certain things, and they just when they hear something, they're quick to you know, just jump on it, right? They don't really study it. They don't really do their due diligence with it.
Right.
They just jump into it, right? What I want people to do is, because I don't want people to make the same mistake that I've made over the years, and that was the moment I get money, man, I'm just going out there. I'm like, hey, fuck it. I'm finna just go invest in this. They told me it was a good idea. You know, I'm gonna do it. Sometimes what's good for other people does not necessarily mean it's going to be great for you. You see what I'm saying? And then if you're not doing your proper due diligence with it, when is the most important time to? It's just like, for instance, God, I do lift. I was doing lift, like, you know, every now and again, right? But
yeah.
You know, of course, it, just like any other entity, all individuals that do some of the similar things have stories to tell, right? And so, you know, I would get with certain people that would do Lyft, and they would be telling me about how they made their money with Lyft, and, you know, and I was just like, wow, well, I don't work too hard. I don't like to work hard. I like to work pretty smart, you know what I'm saying? So I would listen to these individuals on how they would really go out and just hustle for the money, right? Me, I'm just a relaxed type of dude. So you know what I do? I like to let money work for me. So what I would do is I would wait until Lyft throw out bonuses, right? Now, while they're hustling and driving all day, I would wait for the bonuses to come around, and I would take advantage, full advantage of the bonuses that are coming around, right? And I will make just as much as they will make, if not more, by just only doing just the bonuses while they out hustling all day for, you know, whatever it is they're trying to make, right? So right. I say that to say this. Sometimes you have to sit back and study the game so that you'll know how the game is being played. It's just like how I was just telling Kalam that, you know, when I got into the house selling game, even in my town, guess what? Houses was $3,000-$4,000. You can even, one of my properties I think I paid like $800 for. You know, it was a bad property, but I was just like, you know what? I can get this property and, you know, let it be a project for me and my sons to kind of work with, you know what I'm saying? But I say right. that to say, like, that was the great, it was a real great opportunity to get into the real estate game at those prices, right? Now, those same houses and the entity that were actually selling those properties, if you go onto that list now, those houses are jacked up to $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. You know?
Yeah, that was
and it's just like, right. You see what I'm saying? So now if you go in and you buy those properties at $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, think about this. What would you actually be getting out of it if you know that they were being sold at $30,000-$40,000 at one point? You see what I'm saying? Like, and the areas that majority of them were in, they were low poverty neighborhoods. You see what I'm saying? And to be honest, they still are. But the prices have went from $3,000 to $4,000 to $30,000 to $40,000. Now, let's say you go in and buy that prop, those properties now at $30,000 and $40,000, right? But the market
right.
goes back down. You see what I'm saying? And now you pay $30,000 to $40,000 for the property. Now the market has went back down, and now they're back selling those houses for little or nothing. You
yep.
see what I'm saying? So you have to do your due diligence when it comes to buying anything. I don't care what it is. You have to know whether or not you are investing in an asset or a liability. But you know, today it's strictly about asset protection. But I wanted to just throw that out there because, you know, I want people to learn to do due diligence when it comes to investing, period. You know?
Right.
But, yeah, man, so the next word that we have is asset protection, all right? And we're going to go to the Wikipedia definition of it, and let's see what we have, all right? And it says, asset protection, sometimes, in parentheses, also referred to as debtor-creditor law. Wow, okay. Debtor-creditor law, all right, is a set of legal techniques and a body of statutory and common law dealing with protecting assets of individuals and businesses, entities from civil money judgment. All right. Now, I want to reread that. All right. Asset
yes,
protection. In parentheses, sometimes also referred to as debtor-creditor law, is a set of legal techniques and a body of statutory and common law dealing with protecting assets of individuals and business entities from civil money judgments. Mm. You know what? I want to look more into that. Hey, what was you going to say, God?
I was just going to refer back to our previous show on Financial Friday, exactly, like our most recent show before this one, where we was talking about the liens and stuff like that. That's debtor and creditor law, because what you're doing
right.
is, as a creditor, you're liening property, right, for asset
right.
protection. That's a form of asset protection, because it is involving a debtor and a creditor. In order for you to even insert a UCC, right, you have to have, it's required to have a debtor's name and a creditor. So that is
right.
showing you that is a form of asset protection. Based on the definition that you just read too, because it's creditor and debtor law. It has to, those is interchangeable. You know what I'm saying? You have to know when to shut it on and shut it off, and basically do asset protection. But I just wanted to
right.
that.
Facts. So, you know, get back into it. All right. But you know what I want to do? I want to do, get a more understanding of what we call common law. You know what I'm saying? I see this word
okay.
common law highlighted. And, I want to get an understanding of what common law really is, you know, because I hear a lot, you know, statutory
right.
law, common law, but I never actually took the time to actually understand it or overstand it. I wonder
right.
why they don't have statutory highlighted, but, you know, we'll try to find that and research that one as well. But, okay, common law, right? In law, common law, also known as judicial precedent or judge-made law, or case law. Judge-made law. Wow. Is the body of law created by judges and similar quasi-judicial tribunals by virtue of being stated in writing and written opinions. And again, it is the body of law created by judges and similar quasi-judicial tribunals by virtue of being stated in written opinions. All right. The definition characteristic of common law is that it arises as precedent. Now, I ain't gonna get all the way into it, but that was a great understanding of it. Okay, so, you know, and what common law basically is, this is telling me is that, you know, it's actually a bunch of laws that was created by some of your judicial officers, right? And so, man, that right there itself speaks value, because when you're dealing with asset protection, you really want to understand, like, how you are protected. Because believe it or not, a lot of these judicial officers are using these methods as well. You understand? So they have created these laws so that they can better protect themselves as well. Because they're not just in office, just sitting in office. They're actually out, you know, buying properties and doing all these things as well. Man, I had a sheriff here in Shelby County, right, who bought a $1 million house. The house is appraised at $1 million. You get what I'm saying, God? And from my understanding, now this right here was some totally off of the subject, but it was just my understanding that, oh, okay, so these officials are following the laws. They are waiting for you to fail at following the laws so that they can come right in and get you for everything you got. You know, and it was crazy because when I had found out that the house that the sheriff ended up buying for like the I think it was $1.5 million or something, he actually didn't buy it. You know what I'm saying? You know what he did? They had someone else put out of the property, and the gentleman that was living in the property was now doing what we know today as an adverse possession. So, man, and it shocked me because when I had found out about it, I said, man, I got to get on that adverse possession shit, man, because, man, that is a lot of power. You know what I'm saying? If you know it, it's a lot of power. All right.
Very powerful.
Yeah, man. Okay, God. Okay. All right. So, let's get back into it, man. Asset protection. Okay, and then we got down here, it says, asset protection consists of methods available to protect assets from liabilities arising elsewhere. Remember, we talked about that liability word, you know, but we're going to go into it. Let's just, we talked about this on an earlier show, but we'll definitely go back into breaking down the word liability. All right. And financial accounting, a liability is defined as the future sacrifices of economic benefits that the entity is obliged to make to other entities as a result of past transactions or other past events, the settlement of which may result in the transfer or use of assets, provision for services, or other yielding of economic benefits in the future. All right. and that is a liability. All right. And it goes back, and it should not be confused with limiting liability, which is concerns the ability to stop or constrain liability to the asset or activity from which it arises. Assets that are shielded from creditors by law are few. Common examples include some home equity, certain retirement plans, and interest in LLCs and limited partnerships, parentheses, and even those are not always unreachable. Wow. So, you have to understand that, you know, when you're trying to protect your property or protect your assets, shall we say, you have to understand that, again, in this state, that, and even these are not always unreachable. Okay, so you want to properly secure your assets. And, you know, that comes with a lot of due diligence as well. And we're going to have a show that talks about how to properly secure your assets as well. And that right there is dealing with our trust set up that we're going to help you guys and teach you guys how to set up. All right?
All right.
Assets that are almost always unreachable are those to which one does not hold legal title. So you must hold legal title in order for it not to be so reachable. You know, even if you hold title to it now, it can be reachable if you're not securing it properly. So, all right. But in many cases, it is possible to vest legal title to personal assets in a trust. There we go. I just mentioned that. All right.
Sir.
Okay. An agent or a nominee, while retaining all the control of the asset. The goal of asset protection is similar to bankruptcy, and the two practice errors go hand in hand. When a debtor has none to free assets, the bankruptcy route is preferable. Hold on, let me reread that one. The goal of asset protection is similar to bankruptcy. Okay. And the two practice errors go hand in hand. When a debtor has none to free asset, the bankruptcy route is preferable. When the debtor has significant asset protection may be more sensible, which it is. It really is a more sensible route, you know, because when you are dealing with your property, you don't want anyone to come in and try to scoop that away from you, you know. I see a lot of people, you know, a lot of older guys who, man, worked all their life, man, to come up on, you know, these properties or, you know, just all of those, this money or businesses, and then they go out at an old age and get these young chicks, these young females, man. And before they know it, man, those young chicks take them for everything they got. You know, you got to be secure. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not even just young folk. I mean, it's not even just young women. Cause believe it or not, man. I got guys I know that do older women like this. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh yeah.
Man, it's all about having that security, you know, being smart with the way you move. And Like my mom used to say, never letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing. You know, you got to be smooth with what you're doing and what you're trying to do. That's
sad. Also, God, not to cut you off, you think, let's try to get into a few of these other links inside the private chat. I know we're not going to get through all of them, but just, you know what I'm saying? Like, just like an overview of these, and then after we do the overview of those, we should be able to end the show.
Okay, go ahead.
All right,
let's get into it.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go to the Investopedia definition real quick. So click that
all
up.
Right.
Gotcha. Investopedia. All right. So it says, what is asset protection? Asset protection is the adoption of strategies to guard one's wealth. That's what it is. Asset protection is the adoption of strategies to guard one's wealth. And it says, asset protection is a component of financial planning intended to protect one's assets from creditor claims. So it protects you from other creditor claims and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You gotta protect your wealth to the highest form possible. All right, so we're going to click done, and let's go down. We're going to go down to the 6 asset protection strategies to shield your wealth.
Okay.
I'm not going to go too deep into all of them, but let's just do a little quick overview since the show is basically almost over. All right, so it says, number one, increasing your liability insurance. Your first line of defense in litigation should be insurance. Call your insurance broker and increase your liability limit. Make sure your personal umbrella liability coverage is for an amount at least equal to your new net worth. For example, if you are going to receive $3 million from your Aunt Jane's estate, tell your insurance broker that you want a $3 million umbrella liability policy. Rates are inexpensive, often $200 or $300 per $1 million of coverage.
Right.
All
right.
So you can use that method. Going to number two, consider keeping assets separate. Hold on, something is about this. All right. Yeah. Consider keeping assets separate. Depending on the state in which you live and the source of your windfall, if you deposit the money into a joint account with your spouse, this money could instantly become half theirs. For some, this isn't an issue, but for others, this could pose a problem. For an example, if you have children from a previous marriage and commingle an inheritance you receive with your new spouse, your children may get less than you expect when you pass away. So, you got to separate your assets. And me personally, like, when you're doing, like, assets, you know what I'm saying, like, joint accounts with your spouse, or, like, this is just me personally, separate it, you know what I'm saying? You guys can have a joint account, but don't let that just be your only account. You know what I'm saying? Like, have that account for you guys to when joint situations happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're going out to eat together, when you're going on vacation together, it has to be a together thing. That's why it's a joint account. If we're not doing nothing together and I'm accumulating this money and I'm spending my assets or using my assets in my way personally, you have a personal and you have a joint account. It has to be separate.
Right.
That's just that. But let's go on to number three. Protect yourself from renters. If you have rental property or expect to invest in rental property, after receiving your sudden wealth, create a business entity such as an LLC or corporation to shield your other assets from a disgruntled tenant. By doing this, if your renter sues you for $5 million, they can attack the assets in the entity that holds the real estate, but the rest of your personal assets are protected. So that's the LLC method, you know what I'm saying? So limited liability. So you're limiting that liability for them to, and you're separating yourself from the business, which means you're separate. That's another account again. It's, you're separating
right.
yourself personally from the LLC. The LLC is seen as its own person. So now, instead of them coming after you personally, they're actually coming after the LLC, not necessarily you. And they're going to get some of the LLC assets. And if it was me, I would create, every time I create a different LLC, I would put them under, they do have a different EIN and everything, but some people, like if they have a trust or whatever, they will put every, all of their LLCs in one trust, which is, if that's their preference, that's their preference. But my preference would be every time you get an LLC, you put it into a different trust. You know what I'm saying? Like each LLC should have a different trust. But
right.
Let's go down where it says number four. Review all jointly held accounts. Any money you deposit into a joint account with your children and the elderly parents, roommate, or business partner is at risk. If the joint owner files for divorce, incurs a tax lien, or lawsuit judgment, the entire account could be wiped out. Right. That's just basically going back to, I think, number two, was it? Yeah. It's going back to number two where you have to separate your accounts. Even if it's for your wife, your children, your elderly parents, you have to have, like, you have to have all this. If you care about your wealth and your family, you should have those things separate. You should have a separate account for you, your children, your wife, your mother or your father, your parents, and whoever else you want to have, like your business partners. All of these should never be connected. All of those should be like completely separated as much as possible. Number five, formalize informal partnerships. Business partnerships are ticking time bombs. Why? Just like joint accounts, you are responsible for the action of your partner. But unlike a joint account, a lawsuit against your partner can put all of your assets at risk. For example, suppose you and a friend have an informal agreement to partner and provide consulting services. If your partner is involved in an accident on the way to a client, your personal assets can be in jeopardy. Okay, so they're saying, like, in this number five, formalized informal partnership. Hey, me personally, the only time I would actually do an informal, you know what I'm saying, partnership is when you can tell. If you a good person, like friends, say you want to do business with friends, right? But you look
right.
sketchy. You look sketchy with uh-huh. a friend. And you like, man, I don't know, but how you be moving, it's like
just
it's
ain't right. Yeah.
Right. It's risky in a way how you be moving and you don't want to study, but you know what? You still know how to get that money though. You know what I'm saying? You know how to get that money, but you don't want to study to limit the liabilities and limit from getting sued. If you keep moving like that, you're going to get sued. You can kind of tell these people when they're around you. You know what I'm saying? And some of these guys, they don't want to look into these stuff. And that's okay. You start to do business with them. But make sure the business is informal. You don't want to do any paperwork connecting them to your the joint. Like, you don't want to create a joint account with them pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Don't create a formal joint. Just do a verbal agreement with them. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Right.
So it doesn't fall back on your accounts. That's
right.
That's the most I can say for that part. Now we're gonna go to number six. Create business entities to shield assets. If you have a small business
or do part-time work on the side without having a formal business structure, such as an LLC corporation, you are operating as a sole proprietorship. The sole proprietor means it's just you. So unlike a partnership, you don't have to worry about partners' action, but all of your personal assets are at risk if you are sued. And it says, tip, create a business entity that shields your personal assets from lawsuits against your company. And we know what that one is. It just goes back to saying the LLC again, to be honest. And you got other different business, you know what I'm saying, entities like this, like the trust. The trust could be formed into a business trust, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people don't really know how to take that avenue. It just takes a lot of just due diligence and studying. But
right,
yeah, guys, we don't have to necessarily go. Well, let me go into like an overview. I'm not going to read in depth like how I did that time. I'm gonna just read the subtitles, or the titles, I should say. So,
okay.
All right, we clicked the other one. It says best asset protection strategies. The best asset protection strategies involve legal tools and financial plans developed to shield valuables from lawsuits. All right, it says five asset protection strategies. Okay, number one. Hold on. Go ahead. Okay, number one, use LLCs. Number two, asset protection trusts. And it also says this is considered the most powerful tool to protect money from lawsuits. So that the asset protection trust is the most powerful tool to protect money from lawsuits. All right. And it says three, own nothing personally. Real talk. And you don't own nothing personally. If you listen to Robert T. Kiyosaki, he says he is poor. You know what I'm saying? But his businesses own everything. You know what I'm saying? His businesses is very wealthy, but he is poor. All right. Number four, use separate legal tools. Experts agree you should not own investment real estate in your own name. Don't own the real estate in your own name. Use separate legal tools. All right, number five, don't flaunt your wealth. It's much better to be rich than to look rich. And if you look in,
well,
I was watching
right.
a video with, yes, sir. I was watching a video with Jay-Z, right? And they was pointing out like how he started off with gold chains and like real big gold chains and stuff like that. And he was just flossing, you know what I'm saying, or flashing. And as the years go by, he reduced to four chains, to three chains, to two chains, to one chain, to no chain, to watch, you know what I'm saying, to the watch game. And after that, not even wearing like name brand clothes, like they just go with no logos on their shirt. It's just regular clothes. Like there's no
right.
logos. You know what I'm saying? They're not being materialistic. They're not looking like wealth. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean that they don't have it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's
right.
That's another way, because you know what I'm saying. If someone knows your business. And they'd be like, man, Jay-Z owned this business. He owned that business, man. Or it puts a mark on you, you know what I'm saying, for people who are there intentionally wanting to sue. You know what I'm saying? Like, they set you up. So they'd be like, man, hey, Kalan, what you be doing, bro? I see you with all the gold chains and all this stuff like that all the time. I'm trying to do what you're doing. Now, you go ahead and you tell them, well, shoot, I got a business and I have a business called, you know what I'm saying, credit for gold, or you know what I'm saying, credit.com, and they'd be like, all right, cool. They do their research, they do diligence on that. This is evil people. They do the due diligence, and they'd be like, man, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to have to start over. So I'm going to just go ahead and set them up and do a lawsuit against them. I'm going to make them be liable, and I'm going to try to do a lawsuit, get money from them, because he have it like that. If he got gold chains like this, trust me, this little bit, $10,000, what I'm about to get off him in a lawsuit is nothing. So
right.
You are seen as a target. You know what I'm saying? When people ask you, what exactly do you do?
and what business do you own? Once they know that, they can actually do their research online, find the business, and send to your business, bro. It's not connected to your personal, because you don't have none in your personal name necessarily. But guess what? That's heat, bro. That's money. That's money lost in your company. But yeah, that's
right.
That's the end of that for me, God. You got any comments or anything?
Hey, man. Beautiful, beautiful show as always. You know what I'm saying? Like again, we want you guys to actually understand and do your due diligence when it comes to this type of information. Please take your time, because a lot of money can be wasted rushing into doing things that you just hear someone talk about. You don't take the time out to actually study what you're getting yourself into. So that's what we're here for, man. We're here to help and hopefully, we're doing a great job at that. And always, email us at fortheloveofcommerce@gmail.com if you have any questions. And again, if you want to get inside this private chat, also email us. And if you want to call in and talk to us, then feel free. The number is 563-999-3670. Again, it is 563-999-3670. And press 1 to raise your hand, and we'll get you inside the chat with us. Also, if you want to get into the Blog Talk chat, because it's also a Blog Talk chat, then what you would do is you would log in to blogtalkradio.com, and you would find us, type in For the Love of Commerce, and while we're live, you can actually get inside the live chat. All right,
that's
man.
It.
And that sums it up for me, man. Anything you wanted to lay down, God, before we depart?
I mean, the only thing I got to do, I got to lay down is what we got going on next. So this is a makeup show. So the next show would also be a makeup show, because we promised that it would be a show on Knowledgeable Sunday, which we missed that show, but it's going to be a makeup show. And for Knowledgeable Sunday, we promised to give the people the positions of officials, like not even officials, public official servants. Public servants. So we're going to give you all the positions of those ones. And I'm not sure, like, what tomorrow? Probably Saturday. We don't have a Saturday show, correct? No. Tomorrow is, I think it's Financial Friday. It's a Monday today. All right. Like Tuesday. We got Hell Tuesday tomorrow, huh? He left the line. It's for us to drop.
Yeah.
But
can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I get you now.
Yeah, tomorrow is Health Tuesday. It's Health Tuesday
right.
Tomorrow. But we can come back with a Wednesday. If you want to come back Wednesday, we can go ahead and do the show that we missed for Sunday. If you want to do it Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that. Go ahead and get the positions down for them, because that's vital. You know what I'm saying? And I like to keep my promises. So, yeah, we could go ahead. We could go ahead and do that on Wednesday then. And that's all for me. We're gonna link back up tomorrow for Health Tuesday. Getting into some health. We don't know exactly what the health to talk about tomorrow, but it's gonna be a surprise. So you'll figure it out.
Dig that, man. All right, man. Well, man, see you guys tomorrow. Man, peace to the gods.
Peace to the gods.